Welcome to this brief study of the Acts of the Apostles, five sessions considering significant themes found in the 28 chapters of Acts. If you participate in all five sessions, I will certainly see it as my job to help you know more, maybe, than you do now about this fascinating book of the New Testament. But I won't pretend I can do more than give you an overview, lifting out stories and themes that have been so important to Christianity from the beginning. I'll hope that by scratching the surface in these sessions, you'll want to dive more deeply into the living word revealed in this book, and maybe encourage some friends to dive into it with you. At the very least, I hope you'll take the time to read Acts in its entirety, reading it as you might an adventure story, but not rushing through it. At 28 chapters, you might read and enjoy the whole thing over the course of a week or two. First, let us pray using this beautiful prayer book collect. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. My hope, my prayer, is that God will give me grace to present the good news of Jesus, as presented in Acts, in a way that is true and interesting, and leads you to chew on and be fed by the Word, so that the blessed hope of everlasting life given you in Jesus Christ will strengthen and sustain you as you follow Him. First, a little background. At our annual council in February, I encouraged the 85 congregations of the Diocese of West Texas to read and study Acts during 2019. This is related to our diocesan theme for this year, Walk in Love as Christ Loved Us, a verse from Ephesians chapter 5 that continues, and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Walking in love is a call to movement, to action, specifically to Christ-like movement and action. After a year in which I called the diocese to read and study the entire Bible under the theme, The Word is Very Near to You, I felt it would be good to follow that year of study with a year of activity. Not that reading the Bible isn't pretty strenuous activity. Hence the call to study Acts, which is the story of the apostles and the first disciples moving outward, Spirit-formed and Spirit-led, taking up the mission of Jesus Christ and spreading it throughout the world. It's in the book of Acts that Christians are first called people of the way, a clear sign that Christian living and believing isn't intended to be a passive experience lived out only in the privacy of your head or only in the privacy of your home. People of the way are people on the way of Jesus Christ, following Him beyond ourselves, limited only by the ends of the earth. So that's why we're getting into Acts as a diocesan family now. Let's begin. Where and how to begin is a challenge because there's so many ways and various entry points into consideration of the Acts of the Apostles. There are, not surprisingly, tons of books out there that can take you on wonderful studies of Acts. I'm indebted to quite a few of them. But I've chosen as my starting point what I think will be, for many of us, common ground. That is, in the church's worship life. More particularly, let's begin with Sunday worship in the Episcopal Church's prayer book. Our common worship on Sundays is organized according to the church's seasons, the liturgical calendar, and an ordered way of hearing the scriptures, the three-year lectionary cycle. The lectionary cycle uses the complicated terminology of year A, year B, and get ready for it, year C. During each of these years, the gospel passages come primarily from one of the four gospels. Matthew is year A, Mark is year B, and Luke is year C. John is scattered throughout the 3 years, but maybe especially during Holy Week and Easter. During all three of these lectionary years, we hear portions of the book of Acts on all the Sundays of Easter. Rather than reading from the various epistles, as is the case most Sundays, during Easter, when the church's attention is focused on the resurrection of Jesus, we are fed a steady diet from Acts. Considering why this is so and has been so, why the Church in her wisdom asks us to hear Acts in this season can give us understanding of the purpose and place of Acts for first century Christians and for us. I think the placement of Acts in the lectionary makes it clear that the Church understood and continues to understand the continuity between Jesus Christ and the Church. The sending of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 is not an event isolated from what has come before, specifically the death and resurrection of our Lord. The Holy Spirit is not the minion or the messenger of Jesus, but is known and experienced by the apostles and others as the ongoing, abiding presence and power of the risen and ascended Christ. Though certainly known differently than before his crucifixion, the disciples discover that they are indeed continuing to follow Jesus, continuing to receive his love and mercy and goodness as they are formed into his body, the Church, and sent out to be and to do his mission in the world. New Testament scholar Luke Timothy Johnson writes that St. Luke, the author of Acts, shows the Church in Acts continuing the prophetic witness of Jesus in the Gospel according to Luke. The part of the prophetic message that distinguishes the Church from Jesus is the proclamation of Jesus as the prophet whom God has raised from the dead and exalted to his right hand. The resurrection of Jesus is the source of the gift of the Holy Spirit that empowers his followers and inaugurates a new age. The reality of the resurrection runs through all the speeches of Acts, from Peter's first sermon at Pentecost to Paul's last defense before Agrippa. So, all that we will encounter in Acts is set within the light of Easter. The apostles' assurance that Jesus himself is still present and is still their Lord, and the conviction that the Church's Spirit-led mission is nothing less than the mission of Jesus himself to announce and embody and invite others into the kingdom of God. All the speeches, arguments, journeys, jails, narrow escapes, victories, successes, disappointments, failures, shipwrecks, courtrooms, persecutions, and courage in these 28 chapters take place within the varied, shifting, complicated, volatile, multicultural, politically violent, and religiously plural landscape of the first century. And all of that is understood to be God's world, the place and the time that God has chosen to intervene incarnationally and redemptively in his Son, Jesus Christ. It was, in many ways, a time and a place a lot like our own. Also linking Acts to our liturgical life is the centrality of worship, prayer, and proclamation for the Church's identity, life, and mission. Just as we do now, the Church in Acts is gathered. The good news is proclaimed and taught, and the people are sent out in the name of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. The story of Acts begins with a band of disciples waiting for something to happen. It is essentially what we do when we gather for worship on Sundays. We are waiting upon the Lord, waiting expectantly and attentively to hear and see God on the move in word and sacrament, so that we might be fed, strengthened, and sent out to listen and watch for God on the move in the world around us. Identifying the primary purpose of Acts is no easy task, and that's not just me being confused, but based on numerous opinions held by numerous scholars. But I think it's safe to say that a primary purpose for Luke was to strengthen and encourage Christians in their faith by telling of the spread of the good news in places where it was welcomed and in places where it was resisted. The book's audience is not those who are outside the Church, but those who are within. It is written to and for disciples and those who will become disciples, so that they may remember that the way they are on is illumined by the resurrection, and that the movement they have joined is indeed the continuing movement of Jesus to establish the kingdom and redeem the world. The book of Acts continues the story begun in Luke's gospel, describing the story of this movement of Jesus from his resurrection to the time decades later when the Apostle Paul was able to travel to Rome, to the center of the world, carrying the good news. Roughly, the first half of Acts is concerned with the establishment and organization of the church in Jerusalem. The second half focuses on the story of Paul and his missionary journeys. It's believed the book was written sometime between 70 and 100 AD. Like the other gospel writers, Luke had access to other early Christian sources, and he used a variety of literary styles, all with the intention of proclaiming the continuing work of Jesus in the power of the Spirit. The church, as depicted in Acts, lives as a people who are confident and joyful that they have been given something that they could not have unless it had been given to them. They believe that they know something true, enduring, and life-transforming, and that they would not know this unless it had been revealed to them. It is not, however, secret knowledge. They are mightily moved and inspired, inspirited, to share that knowledge with everybody. And so it has always been with the church when we've been at our best. We have a beautiful, compelling, and life-transforming story to tell. As theologian Stanley Hauerwas says, we are a story-formed community. And the story we have received, the story we're given power to share, is the story of Acts, which is the story of the risen Christ and his mission for the life of the world. In the following four sessions, I'll focus on four prominent themes in the book of Acts. As with the book's purpose, naming the four most important themes is difficult, if not impossible. There are many themes, and probably all of them are important. But the four I've settled on are these: the person and work of the Holy Spirit, the growth and spread of the church, the coming of the kingdom of God, and the encounter of the gospel with religion, culture, and politics. As I said, there are plenty of other themes, and I encourage you to read for yourself and see what themes might jump out at you. I hope that we'll stay together on this adventure for the next four sessions and see how much the first century church and world we meet in the Acts of the Apostles have in common with the life of the church in the life of the world today. Thanks very much for listening. God bless you.